Welcome to the 99 Challenges podcast. On each episode in this show, we bring you one challenge that your business can face and invite experts to provide insights on overcoming these challenges. This episode is brought to you by Anywhere Consulting. We solve problems for growing businesses. We follow up each episode with more content at the99challenges.com or at anywhere.consulting. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Peter Benet, founder of Anywhere Consulting. In today's episode, we will talk about blockchain. We will discuss how growing companies may approach blockchain, what they can get out from blockchain-based technologies, and how they can create meaningful products with blockchain. To discuss the topic, I invited Freddy Spencer from Anyvault Analytics. Hey, Freddy, I'm glad that you're here with us today.
Hey, Peter, nice to have you.
So for a start, what led you to blockchain?
Yes, obviously. So basically, I studied computer science and business, and that's more than 20 years ago. But the thing is, why I'm mentioning it is that I always like to work on the, like, building bridges between different, compartments or, science things or studies or whatever. And then I worked as a project manager in an internet agency for almost 20 years as the head of project manager, director project management, and sort of internal consulting, education and stuff like that. So it was always like translating, say, for this internet agency, translating the marketing requirements into developer speech, right? So that they can program whatever, an online shop or a website or something like that. And I guess you could say that this is sort of what also led me to blockchain. The actual one was my co-founder, Peter, also named Peter, who talked to me in 2015 and told me about Ethereum. And like, this is a cryptocurrency and this could make fiat currencies obsolete. And, it's a great vision and blah, blah, blah. And I got interested and I bought a couple of coins and basically just seeing where that goes. And while doing that, I was sort of falling down the rabbit hole, as they say, in the crypto sphere, and reading more about it, learning more about it. Fascination grew. And so this was eating up my evenings and nights and everything. And my wife was sort of like, ooh, well, can we talk about something else and things like that. So eventually in 2018, I did the jump and said, okay, I'm going to do full-time crypto. Because I always had great experiences with making my hobby my job, right? So that's sort of the dream come true job, basically, if you can do what you love to do on a professional level and get paid for it. So that's what I did and taking the jump. And basically what fascinates me about blockchain is, again, that it's bridging a lot of different disciplines. And it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It can be like economic things, it could be speculation, financial assets, it could be technology, it could be society change, it could be making the world a better place because the revolutionary potential in the South is, higher than in the North. It's just like, I like to compare it to the internet in the 90s. It's like, what is the internet? And back then it was a difficult question. Maybe someone would answer, okay, you can have a website there, and you can write emails, but obviously now we know it's a lot more, right? There's the tech giants of this world came out of it and they are having business models that nobody ever dreamed of. So, and I see the same potential in blockchain, and that's basically making the fascination for me.
Thank you. That's an amazing journey. You do have the skills to understand high profile technologies like blockchain because you have the background in said technologies. But for those who didn't, how would you explain, and this is like the most generic question that anyone can get, I guess, what blockchain is and what it can do for you as a business?
Right. So, I mean, the obvious answer is to answer with a synonym for blockchain, which is distributed ledger technology. So it is a ledger where facts are noted, let's put it in the most general way possible, and it is saved in a lot of different places, and all participants of this network agree on the state of that information, which means also that it is always complete, that the order is the same order, much like within bookkeeping. I think accountants would be great in understanding blockchains because they obviously big ledgers. So number one, it's a distributed network, much like the internet. There's servers that talk to each other and they're recording append-only information, so there can never be any deletions or modifications once there has been consensus reached. And it is high-tech, and there's different technologies. Actually, there's not one blockchain, but many different blockchains because it's a nascent technology. And the standard, as we know it, let's say on the internet, is not there yet. So the race is open, which one is going to be the predominant standard. And to come back to the businesses is that, like I said, with the internet, the use cases are pretty much limitless, or I think all the use cases that we can think about now or are in the process of developing is just the tip of the iceberg in the sense of what we're going to be seeing in the next 5 years or so. Because, you know, like Spotify just revolutionized, music distribution, basically, and also consuming music. And this is like blockchain, nobody talks about that, high level stuff yet, but it can be used in a very different environments.
So for most technologies, when they enter the market and they are new, I think there is the usual cycle for every new technology. And I do believe that for blockchain, we are at the point where it will become a commodity that people can use. And it's not just the playground for the big companies or for the wild, wild west, I guess, for all those blockchain ninjas and whatever. And for small and growing companies, do you think that we are at the stage when these companies can surely order, procure, and create and develop a blockchain-based projects for them? For example, if you are talking about finance, there are smaller insurance companies around the world. They're not just the big ones. And for those insurance companies, blockchain can be a great solution to manage their contracts, manage their identities, manage their finances, and so on and so on and so on. So for these smaller companies, do you think that we are at the stage when they are able to create meaningful applications of blockchain for their companies?
That's a tough question. As much as I would like to say, yes, totally, let's all hop on the blockchain train, I don't think we're quite there yet. I think there's a lot of infrastructure work to be done. For example, you mentioned identities. So pretty much all use cases in the real world require some sort of identification. Like the people that are interacting or the businesses that are interacting need to know who they're talking to, whether they're authorized, whether they're real, all that kind of thing. And I think that needs some sort of identity layer that, for example, is like that you have an electronic ID. And I mean, even in Germany, the electronic ID card it's been rolled out since, I don't know, a couple of years, but there's no applications for it. Like on the internet, I cannot use that in more than like a dozen website or services. So that shows that the real life adoption is, very limited or slow, at least in Germany. Obviously, there's a lot more places that are more advanced than that. But it's so, but I think for a lot of use cases, this is a requirement. And therefore, I don't think we're quite there yet. The other thing that you have to realize, or your audience has to realize, is that blockchain is not per se like a new business model or something. It's more like you use the word commodity, and that's great. It's like the internet. Like the internet is, you're using the internet to do business, to help, let's say, digitize your business. And well, even you can do that without the internet. Digitization, right, is obviously just using computers, but you're getting very quickly to the point that you want to communicate that digital information across different parties. And that's where the internet comes in very handy, right? And so with the blockchain, it's pretty much the same thing. So you still have your traditional use case and your traditional business, but you can leverage new ways, or you can become more efficient. And then on a later stage, you can actually develop new business cases, just like, cloud companies or Google or something, where their core business, well, you could say it is actually advertisement, and that's been around forever, but they're actually, this is like, internet ads, and they're using the internet exclusively. Like they wouldn't exist if there's no internet. And just like that, there's going to be companies on the blockchain that are developing business models for the blockchain and on the blockchain, and we are one of them. But the majority of businesses, they're going to use it as some sort of layer, technology groundwork or something that facilitates or enables the exchange of information. And the main difference maybe that helps with that analogy and with the internet, the internet was enabling the free flowing of information, right? And not only that it was easy to receive information around the world in no time, but also it was commoditizing the sending of information. So the real revolutionary potential from the internet, I believe, is that everybody could become a sender. Like you're doing this podcast now, and before it was only like professional news agencies, TV stations, and that sort of thing that were producing content. And now everybody can produce content. And with the blockchain adds the value layer to it, right? So on the internet, there is no value transfer. It's only information. But you, if you want to send 10 euros to, you know, somebody, like I want to send you 10 euros, I cannot attach that to an email, because the point is that then I will still have it in my sent items. And then we would have, you know, magically we have twice the money because you have it in your inbox and I have it in my outgoing box. And that can't work, right? And to enable this transfer of money, the secure transfer of money, without inflating that currency or that value in general, that's what the blockchain core innovation comes in. And so basically it's a method to transfer value over the internet. Now you can say, well, obviously we have banks for that and I can just do a wire transfer or a credit card payment or something like that. But the thing with blockchain is then you don't need those intermediaries anymore, right? That's the whole point. You don't need the banks. You don't need credit card companies. You can do it peer-to-peer, which is not so much a problem, let's say, in the developed world, Western world, where we have, you know, great banking systems. And yes, there's every now and then there's a scandal and failure and everything like that. But overall, it works pretty good. It costs very little for, you know, private people, for me to transfer you some money. But if you're looking into like third world developing countries, there people don't have access to a bank account, right? And like remittance payments from some poor, whatever, people from Puerto Rico and people in the US working, you know, very, very hard in very terrible conditions and then sending money home. And then they use Western Union and Western Union charges them like 20% fees on that transfer. And it takes like a week to get home. That is a problem. And if they would use blockchain for a direct transfer to the wallets of their family back home, it would be much cheaper and no fees and immediate settlement as well. So those are the benefits. And in that way, I think it helps for small and any businesses to think about. It's not so much that they have to exclusively build a business on top of it, but rather how can they enable this easier money transfer to help ease pains that they have in their existing business models, maybe.
So it's pretty much that you mentioned value transfer or transactions with more efficiency, faster transactions, more trackable transactions, and so on. So the idea presents itself that it is really useful for those who are active in the finance sector or anything connected to finance or transactions. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any other applications that are not in the finance sector, but it was really not per se revolutionizing the whole industry with blockchain, but provided a really great use case for a great benefit for that industry? Have you seen anything like that?
Yes, there are good examples about it. I don't think it has reached any sort of mainstream yet, but there's good, like say prototypes or example cases in different things. But some of them actually are always connected to some sort, because we're talking about value transfer, so always financing or money or values are always included maybe in that. And one of the better examples, which is actually quite an old example, is that in getting help to refugees, like the UNHCR used blockchain for transferring money or aid, financial aid to Syrian refugees years ago already. And that proved to be very much more efficient than using a banking sector. Obviously now in Syria, everything is sort of destroyed. So there is no real banking system and you have sort of corruption. And then you got to get like cash into the hands of those people that don't have an identity, mm-hmm. They've lost their passport and all those kind of things. So that is sort of a use case, which is not in the financial industry, but involves finance, right? So I think the one thing that proves useful is one that I mentioned before, it's digital identity. I think this is going to be a great one. It's going to be an enabler for many, many other use cases. But this is sort of like identity is not really like a business case. So in the sense of business cases, besides finance, I think supply chain management and anything with transparency in the supply chain and things like that, that has proven very useful to, because those supply chains are made up of, you know, hundreds of different parties, and there might be a big one at the end, like say a car manufacturer, like BMW or something, but there's hundreds of smaller companies involved in that supply chain. And to coordinate those and to say, let's even put in like, let's say green standards or avoiding child labor or whatever. We know some people in Germany that did a very successful project with the textile industry, right? So that the consumer can be sure that there's no child labor used in Bangladesh for producing a shirt or something like that. And so these kind of use cases where there's a lot of different stakeholders involved that need to interact efficiently, and also that they cannot cheat, because the thing is, if you want to testify to some, let's say, ecological production stuff, people are tending to cheat because it's cheaper if you, you know, don't care about the environment or something like that. So it's important that the system enforces that trust, and, you know, and that, so that the consumer can really trust that. I think why supply chain use cases are the second category besides the financial industry, and even the financial industry, obviously you can argue that, let's say, you know, there's banks, there's brokers, securities, trading houses, and then there's like insurance, which is a totally different financial, you know, conglomerate sector thing. And those obviously are the first movers, and there I would say blockchain is right in the middle of the industry and disrupting that to a certain extent. And I think supply chain is going to be next.
Let's dive a little bit deeper in terms of jargon and stuff. I think one of the key use case for blockchain is intellectual property as well, meaning creative work, not just ideas and like the usual intellectual property that we all know, but creative work. There's a recent upsurge in NFTs right now on the market. So, but creative work and anything production related work, intellectual property, usually come from individuals. So if I'm an individual and an artist, let's say, should I jump on this train? If so, how can I utilize that for my own benefit? What do you think?
Right. So again, there's this authenticity topic, right? Because the artists, obviously, for the buyer of some art, it's either the beauty of it to look at it or to feel it or whatever, you know, consume the theater or the show or something like that. So that could be one benefit. And the other benefit is scarcity, in the sense of, I want to own this and nobody else owns it, or, you know, just 10 other people around the world own this. And obviously that's why there's forgery, and, you know, that's why, you know, copies are rampant. And this is also one of the problems of the internet, right? Because a lot of, like I said, the music industry, before Spotify, before everything was streaming, there was MP3, the older people might remember. And people were copying, and just, it was like for the creative people, it was a nightmare. Well, I guess it was a double-sided sword, right? It got their music and their art into the hands of a lot of people that would have not been exposed to it previously. But it only happened because it was free and illegal. Right. And so if you're an artist, it's always the question whether you want to get it into the hands of as many people as possible, and or if you want to make or need to make a living out of it. And so if your art is more targeted towards the with a limited quantity, the scarcity, that you want to produce, you know, individual art, then yes, NFTs, which stands for non-fungible tokens, by the way, just for everybody that doesn't know. And it's basically it's a unique identifier on the blockchain that is sort of meshed with the original artwork itself in more or less transparent forms and things like that. So there's, as with all new technologies, there's some questions to be answered and, you know, a lot of hype and abuse. But generally, yes, that is a way of generating authenticity. There's definitely, particularly with I would say right now with digital artists, they always have the problem that this can be more easily copied than like a painting. But so for digital artists, this is a really great thing. And I think the Kings of Leon are the first major artists that now releasing their album as an NFT or something. Obviously there, it's sort of an added benefit. I don't think they're going to sell any less albums because of that, but it's sort of an added benefit that people can show. And this is, again, so this is the wide variety of it. So it could be a measure of scarcity. It could be something to reach new target groups, but it could also be something that is an added benefit, because then people would know, like, you could have a collection of your music online in your wallet. And then if you can look online for other people that have the same music, and then you can discover other things, or it would be part of your identity. Like, you know, like if you look at your cupboard and see the books that you've read over your life, you get an intimate view into the personality of this person, potentially anyways. And the same with like a music collection. And there's traditional ways, like you can share your Spotify playlists and whatever. And it, just a different way of sharing, it would be to show your NFT collection of art, music, images, whatever it is. And that would also then enable some other form of interaction between different holders. So it's not just about the artist and the consumer or the buyer or something, but it can also enable a wider ecosystem around that and connect people. And I think this is where also this is on a higher level, the benefit of blockchain and how it fits into, like, say, the world at large. It's getting more fragmented, right? So we have this lot of individual, like, freelance workers, artists, and everything like that. Everything is getting more atomized to up to the individual level, where before people were just working in companies, and now they're working on their own. And then you have this sort of problem to coordinate these people. And that's something where blockchain can help. And also making payments easier, direct payments. So that way, for example, if you're a journalist and you're writing a piece, and I would be happy, like, to say, if I read this article and I find this, to pay, like, you know, whatever, 10 cents straight away to the author. Now, I don't want to buy the subscription of that magazine, because they're having a lot of stuff that I don't care about and would cost me like $50 a month. But for that individual piece of thing, I would pay a small amount. Now, in the traditional sense, this is too complicated to transfer that money, and there's too many intermediaries that are eating up into the profits there. But that micropayments is one of the things also that blockchain does well. And then that could be another way also. You're not selling like one big piece, but you're selling a lot of smaller pieces, and therefore also be able to make a living without, you know, being dependent on some publishing agency or record label or something like that.
The 99 Challenges podcast is produced by Anywhere Consulting. We solve problems for growing businesses with specialized marketing and business services. If you want to partner up with us, visit our site at anywhere.consulting. If you want to read more about our podcast episodes or want to become a guest on our show, please visit the99challenges.com. We are just about to address, by the way, the provocative parts of the blockchain. But before that, you mentioned scarcity for the artwork, for example. And scarcity, I think it's all about a limited ownership, like limited number of people who own a product or something like that. And again, back to the core statement that we can give around blockchain, it's all about a transaction, which is transferring ownership to one another, meaning its identity, and its efficiency, because it's so easier to claim ownership over a product or something digitally than any other way. Now, I'm a freelancer in a sense that I usually work through international freelance contracts, but what I gathered and what I see is that governments, countries, and I'm going to address the elephant in the room, tax authority, they don't really get caught up with the current tech, with the current available tech that we have right now. So we still have to stick to certain old school style technologies or solutions. And it's so hard to adapt to new. Do you think that will be like future development from the government's side?
I would say, like, personally, I'm convinced that the blockchain space and also the cryptocurrency markets definitely need regulation in order to grow, because it is also, because there is no regulation, it is hard for institutional players, for example, to invest in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So in that sense, it's a good thing if there's more regulation, more security for people and investors, and it will grow the pie totally. Even though some idealists about the blockchain revolution pretty much early on also were dreaming of the total freedom, right? Like, so, and again, I think that's the same with the internet though, right? So there's people using it for, let's say, coordinating terrorist attacks or other things, but most people using it for email with friends and family. And, you know, so there is always going to be some sort of black market activity or illegal activities and stuff, no matter if it's cash or Bitcoin or anything else. So in the sense, it's a normal development that, you know, the regulation and the government are catching up with that. Now, the one thing that I would definitely recommend if people get the wrong ideas about it and say, okay, they can earn some money on the blockchain and not paying taxes on it, just remember that the blockchain doesn't forget anything, right? So be aware, it's actually making, like a lot of people argue, because it's anonymous, or people think it's anonymous to use Bitcoin or Ethereum or something, that they can avoid the tax authorities because there's no name next to their address. But it also saves this indefinitely. So it is much easier once they catch like one bad guy, and it was like with Silk Road, this illegal drug marketplace or something. And then they took down that marketplace and they found the address book of all buyers. So, and then even like 5 years later, in like with a drug dealer that does cash, there's no record, right? And so they could never, like if they're in prison, like the dealer, they cannot find his customers. But if you pay with Bitcoin, they can catch you. And that's the same with the tax authorities, right? So even 10 years later, they can prove very easily that you have transferred that money or received that money or something like that. So don't try to do bad things that you wouldn't do in normal life, because it's not a good idea.
Yeah, totally. Let's focus on how to start from the ground. So if you are a business and you want to, you have a solid solution for the market right now, which can use transaction ownership efficiency improvements in general, and you want to solve that general improvement or development with blockchain. Now, for some companies, it's not even clear how to start with the blockchain. Who will manage the blockchain project? Will it be the CTO of the company? Will it be... So things like these are kind of like, you know, stormy right. clouds. So how should one start? Should you start internally? Should you outsource it? Should you find a service provider? Should you find just a developer? So, you know, things like right. So what do you recommend? Because you are a service provider.
Oh, we are service providers, yes, but we're not consulting basically. But so number one, I wouldn't think about blockchain. We got to do something about blockchain. This is all hype. And a lot of people and consultants and service providers are going to tell you, you got to jump on the blockchain train and you do that. You don't. That's the point. Think about your business. Think about your problems in the business. Maybe you're doing, let's say, you're shipping stuff internationally and maybe also to some sort of exotic countries or something where you're having to deal with currencies that are inflated, or we have to go through middlemen and paying a lot of fees and something like that. So that could be a problem in your business, in your existing business case. And then you need to think about, how can I solve this? And then blockchain might be a solution. Oftentimes it will be not. Right now we're still at that stage where people think, okay, I'm throwing blockchain on a problem and the problem is solved. It's not like that. I mean, seriously, but a lot of people are going around and telling you that because they want to benefit from it. They want to make a sale or earn some consulting fees.
We are still at the stage of the hype cycle. So I
exactly.
understand.
So that's basically cutting out 80% of that noise is number one. Focus on business problem is number two. So what is the problem you want to solve? And then think about it. Because there's also, let's say, distributed computing. If you say you need redundant sets of data around the world for whatever reason, there's distributed computing. It's been around for decades, right? And blockchain is not the first one to invent that, right? There are subtle differences. And that, so if you're coming to the conclusion that you're having a business problem where blockchain might be the solution, find a consultant, because it is complex. But find an honest one, like find maybe best find an IT service provider that also does blockchain, because then he might not always need to sell you blockchain to survive, but actually might recommend more regular solutions or more established IT solutions. And so I think that would be that. So outsourcing, yes. But the other hand, if blockchain might take up a more prominent position in your business, or you're thinking about developing like digital businesses based on blockchain, where it's like the core and center of your business plan, then it is of strategic importance. And as it always is for entrepreneurs, if it's strategic for the business, you want to have in-house capabilities, which means that you basically need to get started to build that capabilities, and it's really hard to find the right people. So because, again, it is interdisciplinary work, so there's people that need to understand like token and tokenomics. If you do that, there's going to be tech people, developers, there's kind of infrastructure problem, you know, where you need like your IT department to run some nodes or something. And you can outsource, you know, different aspects of that as you see fit. But in order to get an understanding of it, you need to dive in, like say as an executive or founder in such a company, then I would recommend to get your feet wet, and it'll take a little bit, because you obviously can't take too much time away from your core of your business. So you have to do it on the side and learn it. But it is worthwhile. It might take a few years for it to reach mainstream and to really be relevant for your business. But because if it is of strategic relevance, you need to get your feet wet. And honestly, you can read about it. There's great podcasts, videos, and content online, like ethereum.org, for example, has some great resources in the learning section there. But I personally think, or to me personally, that's like my story as well, you actually might invest in cryptocurrency. Now, the thing is, it doesn't have anything to do with the technology and might have nothing to do with your business case, but just owning some coins, like a fraction of a Bitcoin or like one Ether or whatever other currency, will automatically lead you to think about this and learn more about it. And so that's a great way of learning, you know, why this is happening, or also realizing that this is all hype and there's nothing to do with reality in the terms of valuations or something. But I can tell you out of my experience, if your asset is doing like, you know, 10x or something, you automatically get interested. So as people are pressured in time, right? It's hard to take time out of your day running a business and learning about new technology. It can be a lot more fun. It's sort of a gamification of the learning, right? So that might be a way. Obviously, you can do all the, if you're disciplined enough, you can read on it, you can take a class. There's master classes in universities these days and stuff like that. So there's no limit to your learning process. But I think one of the most fun and engaging things is to learn about that. But trying to not get lost in the pricing hype, and it's easy to get excited about that and sucked into that part of the blockchain, but try to understand the fundamental technology behind those cryptocurrencies in order to get closer to that technology and to its potential for your business.
Speaking of pricing and money, so paying for a digital infrastructure or developing one is always a price. If you want to develop your own based on blockchain, do you think that we still have the hype and the scarcity combination on the blockchain development prices, meaning less people are aware and knowledgeable in the area, meaning that those few who are drive the higher prices, and also the hype because of the increased demand for that also drive up the prices for the solutions? I don't want you to compare a normal internal large-scale IT infrastructure development compared to a blockchain one, but do you think that the blockchain development prices are still high?
Yes, they definitely are, and it is related to the scarcity. It is brand new, and the demand seems to be there because it's hype. So everybody, like, there are a lot of people that want to jump on the blockchain bandwagon. I see a lot of initiatives started where they say, hey, we do this with blockchain, and then they put blockchain front and center to get funding or to get other people to join their consortium or whatever. So they're using it as a selling point. So I guess the hype works both ways. But in the sense that you were asking, yes, it is driving prices up. But that's not even the problem, because there's also great opportunity, but it's really scarce to find the right people. I mean, the whole technology of Bitcoin is only 10 years old. So it's nothing compared to like traditional IT, for example. So there's not many people that are really there. Then a lot of the people that are saying that are blockchain experts are not really, or are trying to sell you blockchain only, which is also not helping you as an entrepreneur. So if you to find the right people is difficult and probably also costly, but as usual for the entrepreneurs, time is more critical than cost, right? So it would just take you time to hire these people. And so yes, you definitely want some outside help, probably. It will cost you more than a traditional IT project. And that's why it's even more important to think about, you know, is this the right choice or can I solve it any other way and not just do it for the label of blockchain? But the positive aspect of that is the topic fascinates a lot of people, like say young developers and stuff. They're hungry to get their feet wet in blockchain, or they did start some, you know, project on the side, playing with it, experimenting with it. So as with other technologies, if you can find those young and hungry people and find the right ones that are learning fast and quickly, then this is your opportunity basically to, you know, to hire them, either internalize them or as external consultants or developers. And yes, there's going to be a lot of failures because not everybody can make it and you know, learn quickly enough, but that could be a strategy basically to avoid the high cost and the scarcity of the real experts, but actually developing this skill in-house. And that has the double benefit that it might take you even longer to get there, but you have it in-house and you really did the groundwork to understand that and develop that capability. And to be honest, that's the same thing as for any other skills that you want to develop. Either you pay the big bucks and you get there, you know, fast and with little risk or less risk, or you're going the hard way, you save some money, but you're taking more risks and it might take you longer. And that's as always, but I think that the fast track in blockchain is hard because it is booming so much that it costs you time and money to get, you know, those people or get a larger project staff. If you think of like, say, traditional service providers in IT, compared to blockchain service providers, it's probably one to 1,000 or even 1 to 1,000,000 or something, like in terms of people that know traditional programming versus Solidity smart contract programming or something. So, and that will affect price. That's just a fact of life.
What do you think within, let's do 5 years, what do you think where blockchain will be within 5 years?
So in my, let's say, speaker bio or something, I usually put like within 10 years, the blockchain is going to be as everywhere and the commodity like the internet is today. And I still stick to that, even though we've moved on for like 1 or 2 years. So because you're asking for 5 years, I think it's going to be in the mainstream, but you're still going to be talking about it. Like blockchain is a thing and you know it. And much like the internet was, let's say, 10 years ago or, you know, in the 2000 to 2010 or something. People were talking about it. There were business models based on the internet and everything like that. These days, it's not talked about anymore. It's just you're online and you're always on. You only talk about the internet if it's not there because you don't have reception, Wi-Fi sucks, whatever it is, right? And in 10 years, I think blockchain is going to be at that stage. So in 5 years, in order to get there, it's sort of going to be more mainstream. And it starts to disappear for the general public so that like their financing stuff, whatever they're doing, they don't have to use like the terrible hashed values as addresses, and there's going to be clear text account names and things like that. It's all going to be in stable currencies rather than the very volatile cryptocurrencies and things like that. So this is going to enable mainstream adoption. And I totally think that 5 years is a time frame where we can achieve that. And then, but it's sort of still a thing to talk about blockchain, and it's going to be a topic. And in 10 years, it's going to be just a commodity that everybody has. It is used or not. You don't even know what are you using, traditional finance or newer forms of decentralized finance or whatever.
Cool. That sounds super exciting.
It is. I can tell you, like I started working with the internet agency, and I always appreciated that it was at the cutting edge of things, like, you know, mobile first, e-commerce and stuff like that. It changed like every 1 or 2 years, and it was always great. And that's why I stayed in that business for so long. Because I'm always hungry for new things. But I can tell you it's nothing against the crypto adoption and rate of innovation that is happening there. The saying goes that 1 month in crypto is like 1 year in the traditional world. And yeah, I can, from an insider perspective, I can say, yes, that is true. And that is, you know, dangerous, risky. It is a little bit Wild West, like you said before. It still is, but it's getting more mature, more differentiated. There's specialists for different disciplines. You can outsource different aspects, like the infrastructure. You don't have to run your own node. You can just go to AnyBlock and ask us. You can go to a consultant to get, you know, business help. You can get developers and things like that. But yeah, it's exciting. It's a great ride, and there's a huge potential for the next couple of years.
I think that development, by the way, is shines through from all aspects of blockchain. For example, the ICOs, when the first ICOs mm-hmm. just started, most companies have had only, like, I don't know, cat avatars and whatever. But now you can invest in those people, not in those companies, where, like, big four consulting companies attend their boards and whatever.
And it is actually also sort of democratizing that access again. I think startup financing via blockchain through different means, it could be token sales, it could be like Fairmint is doing divisible equity on the blockchain, different mechanisms there that are enabling, like, say, you know, smart small business owners or entrepreneurs that they can start their business, and the internet enabled them to start their business from anywhere in the world, and they just need a computer now, but they still need some sort of financing to grow, right? If they need some real world assets, if they're not only digital nomads, right? And to find that financing, to hire other people and everything like that, their blockchain is also, that's a big use case, actually, I think, that has an impact on the real world. It's, again, one of those use cases, which is, you know, startup financing, but a very powerful one. And I totally agree, 2017 was crazy, and people were selling white papers for millions, and there was nothing behind it. Now it's much more legitimate. And there's super interesting ideas, and this way of raising capital quickly and without a lot of formal procedures is actually very powerful to get startup ideas off the ground quickly. And that's even that alone will change the world, even though
yes.
it's not totally like blockchain related use cases that they're working on. If they get their funding through that, then that's going to be great. And by the way, a lot of those crypto millionaires that are born, you know, these last couple of years, they are going to invest their money back again into entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs that are, you know, starting some tech companies. So that in itself, much like, you know, like say Bill Gates uses money to fund the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and tackling malaria or something. So that's a big impact that this traditional IT company had on the world, and had nothing to do with the IT, but just with the funds that they raised. And that's going to happen again in the space with the people that made a fortune on early cryptos.
And if you actually look at the core industries that blockchain will change for the long term, at least, are those industries that are super old school, changed only like the 60s or the 90s, finance sector, legal, and any other of these industries, they are destined to be changed anyway.
They're going to be digitalized, let's put it that way. Like, at least, you know, let's say the legal lawyers and stuff, a lot of it is still paper-based, manual processes, real signatures, things like that. So digitization made their way a lot easier, but they're still hesitant to, you know, to move those processes, or there's, like, say, government regulations involved, like we said before. So if that takes decades to change, but with this value transfer layer on top, not only digitizing the information, but also transferring value or that digitized processes to be also monetized in different ways, that will just increase the pressure for change on those industries, and enable also new incumbents to disrupt whatever industry they are. It's like, you know, legal tech companies and things like that. They only need the internet, but obviously having a payment layer on top is just going to enable them even to grow even faster.
And also, by the way, the VC system is still super old.
Yeah.
So yeah. The whole system of funding and ownership and whatever, and shares and equities and whatever, so still old school. So
yeah.
Anyway, super excited. If anyone has any questions or wants to work with you, how they can find you or AnyBlock?
Yeah, right. So the first point of contact would be our website, anyblockanalytics.com, all in one word. If you want to email me, happy to answer any questions or inquiries. That's freddy@anyblockanalytics.com. And I guess I'm also on Twitter. We are on Twitter, anyblock.tools. Yeah, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for being on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So I hope we could provide valuable insights on blockchain. We will cover more business challenges in our upcoming episodes. And as always, we will follow up this show with more content on our site at the99challenges.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to the 99 Challenges show. We follow up each episode with more content at the99challenges.com or at anywhere.consulting. Have a specific challenge you want us to discuss? Want to be a guest on our show? Feel free to drop us a line at info@anywhere.consulting. Until next time, take care and grow.